Welcome to Generations Radio Podcast, where the focus is on our kupuna and their families. We are here each Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. on the Oldies Channel, 101.1. You can listen to these shows at any time, any place, and even on your smartphone at generations808.com. We will bring to you resourceful information from our Generations team of experts in the field of aging. Stay with us for the next 1 hour as we explore ways to make your life more exciting and meaningful for our extraordinary seniors. I am your host and publisher of Generations Magazine, Percy Ihara. So welcome back to Generations Radio. Actually, we call it a Generations Radio Podcast because, as you know, with podcast, for those of you who don't know what a podcast is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this is what I know of a podcast, that you can watch it, in our case, listen to it at any time, any place, even on your smartphone. And you go to generations808.com and you'll find our podcast, our radio shows there. So we took a hiatus, not knowing that this pandemic would come up. We left ended the show in January. And of course, this COVID pandemic thing came about February and everything was shut down in March. So not that we were ahead of the curve, because we didn't know there was a curve coming, but it's amazing what has happened over these months. And now we're here in December. I can't believe 2021 is coming around. So I am Percy Ihara, your host, and also the publisher and editor of Generations Magazine. If you go to Generations 808, you can check us all out. If you're a follower, thank you for tuning back to us. If you're new to the show here on 101.1, thank you to George and G3 here for getting us set up here. You know, I've been listening to this channel for a while recently, and it's like, never thought about taking our show to 101, the Oldies channel. And I hate to use the word oldies because, hey, I'm 60. And yeah, you can call me old if you want, but it doesn't really bother me. But some people, they do bother them. But anyway, we're here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 o'clock here on 101.1. So keep us tuned in. You can actually go on your smartphone and listen to us as well. But our guest today is a longtime family friend, and actually confidant, and one of my people my go-to people when I have issues with families. Miss Annette Pang. So welcome to the show, Annette.
Hey, Percy. Thanks so much. Nice to see you in this new home.
Yes. Well, these offices at 101.1 here are very nice, cozy. Thanks to the HOI Media, they've done a great job. And, you know, I've been following this channel, like I said, for a while. And my wife and I follow this channel. It's like we thought about that. Goes, yeah, maybe we should just contact them. We did, and we got things worked out. And we love being here. And so thank you for coming in on this holiday season here. And I'm glad you're still in town.
Oh, I will not leave, actually, because
it's a pandemic.
I'm limited. Right. And I want to go see my daughter in Singapore.
Right, right.
And her
right.
family, and my other daughter in law in San Francisco. And we stopped our worldwide traveling. We used to go twice a year to some place for 1 month.
Wow.
The last trip was France and then Italy. And then we couldn't go to, we should be in Japan and Bali right now. But, you know, the pandemic has struck and it's a new way of life, the new normal.
Yeah, well, hopefully, you know, this morning they said that Europe was the first one to approve a COVID test.
Okay.
We'll see how that goes. I think the U.S. is going to watch that. We're probably at least a month or 2 months out here. We'll see and even effectiveness. And there's not going to be enough test kits, by the way.
Exactly.
They thought there'd be 300 million test kits available. You're lucky if you have 40 million here in the U.S. So that goes to first to our kupuna seniors and healthcare workers first that need it the most. So that'll wipe that tier alone will wipe out the 30, 40
That's
million
right.
that we're coming about. So we'll see. But thanks for the show. So, Annette, give us a little bit of background on yourself, because Annette is one of our partners in Generations Magazine, and thank you very much.
Yes.
And your company and everything.
Well, you're in a new studio. Generations Magazine has reached thousands of people.
We do.
All around, I would say, the world, because people have seen the articles online as
yes,
well.
Yes, they go online. I get an email almost every day from somebody on the mainland.
Is that right?
Yes.
Is that right? So the magazine has really sort of reflected the kind of work that we're doing,
right.
because I've owned care homes for over 20 years.
Right.
For senior care homes, kupuna. And believe me, we have just been so vigilant about keeping them away from COVID. such that we do Zoom calls. We did Mother's Day. We did Easter. We did Father's Day, right. July 4th. We just had Thanksgiving on Zoom.
Oh, you must be an expert at Zoom.
Oh, we're good at Zoom, and we've got a great staff because we have games.
We
have trivia.
I've actually been to her care home in Manoa. They love games.
Percy, if you want to know the secret to long life, it is to stimulate that competitive streak. And my elders, up to 107 years old, they were tossing air balloons. They were just guessing trivia games. They were just doing all kinds of things. And I thought, that is the secret to keeping their brain cells going.
Use it or you lose it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So based on that, for the shutdown for our visitors and my own personal travel, we're really feeling the stretch. And I'm not the only one. All of you out there are totally into pivoting, which is what I want to point out today. And because I really have like five ways to kind of prepare yourself for what's happening now and what's going to happen, because we don't know when this is going to end.
Yeah. First of all, I know for a lot of our listeners, a lot of them are baby boomers dealing with their parents or the parents themselves listening to the show.
Yeah.
How are you folks doing? Are you taking in new clients, or have people pulled out and moving their parent back home? How is that happening right now?
Well, they don't take their parent back home, because otherwise they're going to be dealing with caring for an elderly with their own family and worried that they might bring in some kind of sniffle or maybe even COVID that would be risking their own parents' health. So basically, they are happy to have their moms, dads, grandmas, aunties, uncles, grandpas with us. And they come and visit, and we recently enacted something where they could look at each other through this plate glass window. But we also have an area on our property that if somebody got COVID, and knock on wood, we haven't had anyone with COVID, we have a special side house with a special COVID quarantine area that DOH looked at so that people can stay there.
Well, you had to get approved by Department of Health?
Well, they had to look at it.
Really? Oh, okay. That's good, though. I'm glad you're complying.
Yes. We have to comply. The bathrooms, the turning radius, all of that has to be in compliance. So, knock on wood, Percy, we don't want anybody to have COVID to test out our surroundings. But definitely, if something happened, we're totally into retrofit.
Well,
and
good.
We've got to execute.
Good.
Yeah.
How are the family dealing with not being able to come and see their family member more often, and how are they dealing with Zoom? And
oh my gosh, Percy, with technology there's pros and cons, and what's really good about Zoom is that we've had people who've been living away that can't come and see their parents or grandparents able to connect. So we have people in Oregon, Japan, the East Coast, able to see grandma or grandpa, or mostly grandpa or parents playing with the balls and knocking down little turkey bowling pins. And this is one of the first times they're able to. The second group, who usually will come maybe every dinner time or something like that, they of course feel so separated.
Right.
And there's ways that they send notes over, or they wave through the window, or that sort of thing. But it really is something on our staff to kind of bridge that gap so they don't feel so lonely.
Yeah.
And our staff is working so hard to continue that buoyancy, the good feelings, and that they don't miss all of the family directly.
Well, I give you a lot of credit to your workers, your healthcare workers there. I mean, with this pandemic, it's really, you guys had the total pivot 360. I mean, more
exactly.
than anybody else.
Right.
And the healthcare workers, the nurses, and all the hospitals in the state here, in the country, it's amazing what they do. So my hats off go to them. I know a number of nurses themselves and doctors. And so I always thank them, because they're under so much pressure, not only working more hours in a week, but in terms of getting COVID themselves. And
exactly.
some have got COVID, and a few have passed away themselves. So I give your healthcare workers a lot of credit, and it's something that, you know, I know they love what they do.
They love it, and they just think about someone else before themselves.
Right.
But we also want them to think about being carriers if they have something that goes into their own families. So sometimes they will have a roommate, or they'll be working with someone in another facility who has been afflicted with COVID. We will quarantine them, and not even though they don't have COVID, we will quarantine them just as an added step and say, please don't come to work for at least 2 weeks, because we want to keep our own environment totally pristine.
So do your workers get tested?
Yes, they get tested. Absolutely. And as soon as they have a little sniffle or maybe feverish, we just say, halt, you know, put it on hold, get tested, see the results. And Todd Pang, who's my son, gets a whole flyer out.
Who runs the facility,
gets a flyer out to all the families saying, we just had somebody who we suspect might be dealing with something. We're waiting for the test. And then he reports what happens after the test.
Good for you.
Yeah. And he's shut our facility down at the end of January.
Really?
Yes. Wow. And people were complaining, very complaining. It's because when I was dealing with some people who came from China at the New Year, they were already talking about Wuhan.
Yes.
And about what was happening with the government there and how they were smashing all the mahjong tables in everybody's home. And how the incinerators were going 24 hours, and it used to be going just 3 times a week.
Wow.
So we just knew that something was wrong, and more things happened where they stopped the travelers coming for Chinese New Year. So I said, why don't we kind of put a damper on this? And then as it built up, then March, we found that. But it's been a little bit of a training, but who would have known this would have ballooned out this way?
This dramatic and huge worldwide. It's so funny you mentioned that, because I had a friend of mine that knew in early first week of January. Mm-hmm. I said, how'd you know that? He goes, well, you know, I get my haircut downtown, this Chinese guy downtown, and he was showing me the paper in Wuhan.
Oh, really?
Talking about this growing disease and
huge
pandemic.
Yes.
But so he was like, wow, it's amazing. Yeah, all the workers knew all about it. That was the buzz down Chinatown.
Ooh, yes.
But I would tell you, one of my favorite shows to watch is 60 Minutes on Sundays.
Yes, okay.
And 60 Minutes has done a number of stories on, you know, they do detailed reporting, expertise reporting. And they had a number of shows about the pandemic and how a few different entities knew about it coming. It was being worldwide, but nobody paid attention.
Yes, that's right.
And I don't want to bash the president, but I think more could be done.
Uh-huh.
And like our governor and mayor, it's something that I think we are experiencing. I was talking to my friend yesterday. We've never done this before. There's no playbook. There's nothing like that.
And
so you can blame our government, mayor, and the governor to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when you have to make hard decisions without even having the CDC support you and giving correct information. You know, I saw a 60 Minutes show about a month ago about the first breakout in Seattle.
Oh, yes.
The hospital there.
That's right.
The nursing facility. It was a VA center.
Oh.
And VA and the people that were running the facility was trying to reach out to CDC.
Mm-hmm.
And even they couldn't give them accurate and timely what to do.
Right.
And so that's what caused that. They were all scrambling around. Then they were asking for more help. They couldn't get more nurses in there because VA is a little bit of a time lag on personnel. And paper shuffling to get somebody there.
Exactly.
So the state actually, I think, brought in workers to the VA center. And look at the one here now in the Big Island.
Big Island. Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's just something I think, you know, we got to do our best. You know, we try to stay, you know, as much as possible, social distancing, mask, wash hands, but everybody's got to do it. And it's one of the saddest things to see this tourists come in and just with total disregard. And so that's a hard one. You can't blame the hotels, but they can't require them to wear masks. It's not a law. Actually, is it a law now? You got to wear a mask? I think it is.
There was something in the newspaper.
But yeah, maybe it is. But Yeah, it is a law. Our G3 here, George, is yeah, it's a law. But yeah, so what is it like for a senior there in your facility to care for, or in any care facility? Well, they less people coming? How are they handling it emotionally?
Oh, and the isolation, which is normally the thing that makes them feel really separated at this time of life, because of course they're watching everybody else go to picnics and traveling and they got to stay home. So now that is just magnified even more. So what it's like for them is that they're home, in the home care home, but they're not lonely. They're with a group. So there's a kind of a regimen that there's, you know, games, and then there's meal times, although they're socially distanced, and there's a lot of energy that's going on, a lot of laughter and enthusiasm. And the way our staff treats them, they call them like mama, papa, you know, and auntie, uncle. So it's not like Mrs. So-and-so and Mr. So-and-so. There's also, they've become family, where they even choose caregivers to shower them. Certain ones who shower.
Oh,
them.
Really?
Yes, because they know which ones have the TLC. They know which ones might be able to transfer them better, or change bandaging, or whatever it is. You know, it's just that human touch, right? So, if they've survived in their 80s, 90s, 100s, our residents, that means there's something about them that's pretty plucky. they're very innovative, and there's a mindset to them that they can withstand a lot of things. They've been through Pearl Harbor, for instance. They've been through a lot of the Depression.
Right.
So this is new. It's totally unusual. Nobody has the rule book. In fact, Samsung says, unwrite the rules. That's their new motto.
No, it's so true. Even in regular life, people that are working, the kids, I feel bad for the kids. Luckily, my son goes to school there, where he goes to school every day.
Oh, he does.
But public school now is still not coming to the school.
I see.
And that's not going to come probably. They probably won't have in-person teaching till, I don't know, January, February, March of next year. Mm, spring, maybe.
Wow.
So...
Yeah,
I know it's tough for them.
I think that the kids, too, are tested. But I have to look at it this way, Percy. All of us are affected. It's not like one country or one block who's not touched by this. No one is immune from this. So all this points out to me and to others is that this is an opportunity.
Yep.
What is the opportunity out there that's going to be such a paradigm shift that we are no longer going to be the same? Who knows what it's... I mean, these kids are going through this, right? They didn't have graduation, for instance.
Oh, graduation, sports.
All those lays on them. Yeah, the sports.
Oh my God. My son's paddling and bowling has been shut down. He probably won't do it the next year. When next year, we don't know.
Right.
They're trying to move football to spring. Good luck with that. I mean, it's amazing how juggling all this is a nightmare.
Right.
I mean, so... But you know, I hang out with a bunch of guys that we always talk about politics in school and everything. This leadership we have to have, it really tests the leadership, though.
Yes.
Hopefully, the new leadership coming in, the mayor, but testing our current mayor and governor on leadership skills, and albeit giving the credit that we have never been through this, but it really tests how we handle adversity. Because anybody can run a company if everything's fine and smooth and we got money, but you know, we're going to have less money from taxes, less money from tourist taxes. You know, they're looking at cutting payroll, so they have to cut out regular city workers, state workers, teachers. So it's something I would not want to be in their place. I mean, I got to give Trump credit to a certain extent. He was dealing with this well. He did best he could with how he works, but obviously the public didn't believe that. But, you know, it is what it is. But I think... We can complain all we want, but we have to take care of ourselves.
Exactly.
You know?
Yep.
It's something that this pandemic has changed everybody's thinking, way of life. I mean, my house is cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
I spent more time with my wife and my son, which is a good thing.
Yes.
No major arguments, so that's a good thing. We've been able to weather it so far. But holiday is coming up, so we'll see.
Exactly.
We'll see. But it's just something I think... you know, with the children, I don't know how many parents are can stay home and work from home and also homeschool.
Oh my gosh, they're so stretched to the max. My husband and I live across the street from Punahou, so we have our nieces and nephew who need to go somewhere after school. So we bring, whenever they have school, now it's week on, week off, week on, week off. So they come over, we give them a big snack, and then they wait for one of their parents to pick up. But otherwise, they could be doing other things that, you know, maybe going off on their own to a sports activity. But everybody has to pitch in. So when you talk about leaders, Percy, it really is not only city, state, national, world leaders. It's also internally in our own family. So that's what I'm passionate about, because it's the leadership within our family that has to step up to never before. Never, ever before. And it totally looks different.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. How did you celebrate Thanksgiving, for instance?
Took lunch, took dinner to my parents.
Shirley and Les.
Yeah, at 5 o'clock and came back home. We picked up my brother-in-law, Stephen, and he came over for turkey dinner.
And who
My wife cooked all day long.
Oh, my gosh.
From about 9 o'clock till 5 o'clock.
Really?
All day long. We had to package up two sets of meals, but...
Right.
So she was pooped.
Yeah, I know.
And about 9 o'clock that night, she's getting a little tired. So I said, you know, I wash the dishes. She cooks, I clean the dishes. It's tough. That turkey is a tough thing to carry and pick it out.
Exactly.
And you have 4 hours to put in the oven.
So I said,
is it really worth it? Thanksgiving, for a lot of people, that's their favorite time of year versus Christmas.
Right.
Is it really worth it? He goes, you know what? I told her, you know, it's okay if we buy next year, but is it really worth all that time?
Right, right, right.
And I'm not that greatest fan of turkey because I like dark meat. There's not a whole lot of dark meat on a turkey, as everybody knows. But she made a really good stuffing. And I don't like stuffing. I'm a simple guy.
Uh-huh.
And I worked in restaurants for 10 years when I was young. And I love great food. But turkey, I was never a big fan of. But the stuffing was actually pretty good. And then we bought Lee's pies.
I see. But okay.
So I think next year we might buy because have somebody else prepare it because it took
a lot of effort.
6-7 hours.
So this is what I mean. For our family, because the Pang family loves to eat and they love to cook, and Thanksgiving is a major meal event and a time to get together. So we had the bright idea to schedule a Zoom call. But first, everybody cook part of the meal and then pass it out to others. Well, we were in charge of the beef, and I made the cranberry sauce, and then we made a gravy, and then I did all the like sour cream because I did potatoes. So we had this big potatoes. I did like 25 huge potatoes. I couldn't even carry the bag. Put it in the oven, got soft. And what I did, because I learned this from France, was to make smash potatoes, where you smash it and you cook it in duck fat. Duck fat from Whole Foods now. They just sell duck fat.
Really?
So we did that, packaged that up, took this over to my brother-in-law's house. They had stuff ready, but everything was in one container, and I was going to split it up so my son and his wife and daughter was going to have one, and then another group, another portions for someone else. It was so difficult for me because I found out I wasn't a caterer. I didn't have the containers. I didn't have the marking pens.
Yeah, a lot of planning.
I was like, oh my gosh. By the time we delivered it all, it was 8 o'clock in the night, and I could not eat.
So how did your clients at the home?
Oh, this is interesting. Todd usually goes to Kylo High School, takes his turkey like a day before.
They still do that.
They put it in the emu.
Right.
But not this year.
Oh, that's right.
So
somebody asked me that just the other day.
Yes. So he couldn't do it this year. And so they decided to go to Whole Foods and they bought the whole package. Zippy's was all closed out. We found out Foodland does it. Yeah. Neiman Marcus does that, and maybe some hotels. But if anybody out there can tell us where else they cook these whole meals. Yeah, for next year, and maybe even you.
I think we're going to buy next year. Yeah. It was a whole lot of work for my wife. And
it's a lot of work.
And she finally realized, yeah, that might be a good thing. Because, as you get older, plus you don't want to be I don't like cleaning up so much. There's so much pots and pans you got to
use. Exactly.
You know.
So what happened was after we did all the deliveries and I came back to a kitchen smelling like duck fat. I said, I cannot eat this food. So I ate the next day. That's how I spent my Thanksgiving.
Oh.
But that warm feeling that we were able to share, yeah, which is really the essence of what Thanksgiving is, and to be flexible and not to be daunted by whatever's happening.
Okay.
And, you know, to just kind of be drained over that, but just the feeling like everybody got a taste.
Well, Christmas is coming up, guys.
Yeah,
so start planning out your Christmas
think of your
holidays.
Own things.
Think about it, how you can deal with your parents. Think about it if they're in a facility or a care home like Annette's. Think about how you're going to communicate with them. And then obviously, you know, a week later on is New Year. How are we going to start this New Year? So we're going to take a short break here. You're with Generations Radio Podcast. I'm Percy Hari, host with Annette Pang, one of our Generations partners, talking about family life in COVID and in dealing with your parents in COVID. So we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
Exciting 2021 Medicare changes with maximum new benefits. Contact Margaret Wong, a licensed agent, Copeland Group, 808-591-4877. That's 808-591-4877.
4 and 5 night packages from $699. Vacations Hawaii, our favorite connection to Vegas.
Exciting 2021 Medicare changes with maximum new benefits. Contact Margaret Wong, a licensed agent, Copeland Group, 808-591-4877. That's 808-591-4877.
Welcome back to Generations Radio Podcast here on 101.1, and thanks to George and G3 here for getting it set up here. 101, anything we do in the magazine, we always do a lot of research, vetting, talking to people, and 101.1 now is probably the place to listen to music from the 50s, 60s, 70s, maybe 80s sometimes. David Lancaster's here in the morning from 6 to 10 o'clock. I've met him many years ago. We did an interview on another channel about my reverse mortgage business, and that's one of the things that will go further. You know, with my reverse mortgage background, that's the reason why I got into this business of aging. And then when I found out that I needed to learn more, a lot more about aging, and we did Olelo, about 100 shows on Olelo back in the 2004 to 2006, I believe. And then we started radio back then, but that's how I really got to learn and meet a lot of people like Annette here in the industry, because I had zero information. I had a 401k, didn't know really about retirement planning or Medicare or Medicaid, let alone Alzheimer's. I've heard the word. So this is something that, you know, when 10 years ago when I took over the magazine from Kini Popo, yes, the Kini Popo, Carl wow. Hebenstreit, who was actually the first person that people saw in 1952 on TV. He was the first face. Old radio guy. He actually took care of his father. And there was a magazine back in the mid-2000s called Primetime. They went out of business, and then Kini started his own after his experience with his father. And it closed down in August of 2009. I restarted in January 2010, mm-hmm. and you'll hear more in the future. But with my reverse mortgage background, understanding aging, like you, Annette, life planning, life coaching, is really important to what I do and what you do. And it's something that I think I give you a lot of credit for what you've done. Because there's a lot of people that work in the industry that really stay in their industry. They haven't really branched out and helped families like you and I have done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I was talking to a person, a referral this morning in the garage, by the way, at this building here, about her family, and went on and on and on. And I'm not a trained counselor. I'm not an attorney, not a realtor, not an insurance person. I'm a mortgage guy for 31 years. But I have 18 years experience in this field. But just understanding what how to provide options and solutions is what's really important, and it's just something that I've learned over years. And you, I know you're a trained life coach. It's something that I think we can pass on to people. One thing we do with the magazine, like I said, we vet everything. And so, yeah, 101.1 is the largest channel that reaches more seniors in this country, in the state, on Oahu specifically. They've done a great job. And I love the music now. My wife and I both listen to the channel in the morning. But, yeah, so check it out. We're here from Sunday from 8 to 9 in the morning. You can actually stream, by the way. They have a streaming channel that's Hawaii Stream. Just hawaiistream.fm. Very simple. And you can listen to it live any time of the day on your computer or your smartphone. So if you in your car, turn on 101.1. If not, you're at home. You can go to hawaiistream.fm on your phone or your computer and listen to us. If you're not available from Sunday from 8 to 9, if you're at church or golf or out with your kids or shopping, I go to a lot of open markets now. I love the open markets. We know where all the open markets are in town where we live. But, yeah, you can listen on your phone if you have earbuds or AirPods or whatever those things are called. While you're walking or you're jogging, you can do that. You can ask, so we call them podcasts. It's a Generation Radio Show podcast because a podcast, we archive that. We put it on our website. You don't have to go to Spotify or all these other channels. Just go to generations808.com. Look on the right side, click on that, and it has all our past shows. You can listen to them right there. And we know a lot of information that may not be something that you need right now. But 6 months, a year from now, you might have a friend, or maybe you might need some help or information. So this show provides really expert information. We only have experts on our field, on our show. If they're volunteer, they're a volunteer from that specific industry, an expert. That's one of the things I really see a lot of. Other nonprofits or companies hire volunteer and they talk about it, whether that's not their expertise, which to me is not doing it right. So we do things right. We vet the channels we are on. We vet all our writers. We vet all our advertisers, by the way. So all our partners in the magazine are vetted. They all know if we have a complaint, we will have to report them. If a client, if a reader reports a complaint to myself or our staff, we have to report that. So it's really important. We are vetted. We are indexed in this industry for a long, long time. And we plan to always be a free magazine. If you want to subscribe, you can subscribe for $18 a year, $3 an issue. Subscribe, you can go online, pay via PayPal, or you can send in, look on, I believe it's page 3 or 4. We have the subscription form you can fill out, mail it in. It's just something that our staff has worked hard. So, and if you want to be part of Generations Magazine, you can email me at Percy@generations808.com or on our website. You can check us out and reach us there, or just give me a call. Just trying to find our people don't call me, they email us a lot. You can call me at any time, and I'll give out the phone number at the end of the show. But anyway, we're here with Annette Pang, life coach, care home operator, owner. So one of the things we wanted to talk about is, how do we pivot? What do we do? But I want to go back to one of the earlier things about the change. Hawaii, we're pretty remote, I have to say. We're honest, Rich is really good, but all this stuff with Black Lives Matter, George Floyd, all these kind of things. Mm-hmm. Are families being affected at all by that in Hawaii much?
I saw. Let
alone the election.
Yeah, the election, they were definitely involved with that. And I did walk along Ala Moana Park, and there were some people who were sign waving for Black Lives Matter.
Uh-huh.
So I think to the degrees that we would find in Chicago, for instance, or major cities, it's very, very different. Although people have the same sentiments in the hearts for focusing and highlighting that as well. And so we've been through a lot. We've been through the election. We've been through that. We've been through the COVID statistics. I used to watch Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx every single day to see how the numbers were climbing, and couldn't believe, that we had to ration toilet paper. So we've been through a lot. And all of you listening out there, you have gone, congratulations, to the end of the year, surviving this. that's never been before in the history of our world.
We're not done.
We're not done. We're not done. But we continue to reinvent and repurpose ourselves because we just have to. My godson got COVID.
Oh.
My a granddaughter got Kawasaki's disease. There's some people who passed on. I read obituaries of my own age group. So this is not like, just a passing thing like bird flu. This is something that is so pervasive. It's changing our money. It's changing our communication. It's changing our social setups and education. It's changing everything we do. So what are we going to look like at the end of the day? That's where family coaching, which starts like the little nucleus, will set the foundation so that you can be so strong and prevail through all these changes that's going to happen.
Not even knowing what's going to happen.
Not knowing what's going to happen. Exactly.
Nor does the mayor, governor know when we're going to go to tier three, tier four. It's mind-boggling to think about, pivoting two or three times within a day and making major decisions.
Yeah.
So I definitely do give them credit, a lot of credit. I know Josh Green, and it's just amazing what he's done for our county here in Oahu. But
remember Libby Char?
Libby Char.
She's Vernon Char's and Evelyn Char's daughter, who is Eileen's niece. She's now head of the... Department of Health. So, they're our future. But I want to say that one thing is the nut that's just going to keep all of us sane. Do you know what that might be?
No. I want to hear from the life coach here. Annette Pang, the life coach.
It is communication. Communication through divorce, debt, death, debilitation, all of that, and shocking, drastic changes. Communication. If we don't ask, if we don't request, if we don't evaluate, if we don't open our mouths and say something, we just watch life go by. And usually people let that happen because they're afraid to ask. And that's where I help coach them, to have them feel confident, to know what to ask and know what to say. First of all, to get in touch with their feelings. And then to have the courage to begin to ask the words, like, Dad, do you think you need to have us take you to the bathroom now? Because maybe you're going having too many accidents these days. Or how much money are we going to be left with when somebody passes away? Big questions like that. Or little questions like, do you want to have turkey, dark meat, white meat? The communication is the key to everything. And that's where I like to specialize in that, because we have like four bad habits that stop our communication.
And what are they?
The bad habits are the bleeper.
What's that mean?
The F-bombs.
Oh.
Where people are just like, whoa, they don't know what to... Did you read about the road rage in Los Angeles the other day?
No.
Flipped over a mag car because of road rage. People, just saying the whatever they had to say to each other, but it just ends up in destruction. Okay, the next one is the blurter, where the foot in the mouth. You say something and you just say, my mouth just said something, and now
I don't swear a whole lot, but I blurted
somebody's feelings. And it could be like to your daughter, your short shows your little butt. You know, I mean, that's like boom. Or the bullier, where you just like, you should have done that. You always do that, and you don't listen to me, blah, blah, blah. And then they go back into history. Then they go forward, and it's just like bully, bully, bully. And then the blabber. The blabber is the motor mouth that never stops. It keeps on going on, and then George is laughing on and on and on and on, and nobody can get a word in edgewise. So what I do is to say, calm down, hold your horses, because if you're going to make any connections with anybody through good times or challenging times, you got to take control of having this motor mouth, bleeper mouth.
Yeah, but it's never equal. My problem is never equal. Somebody talks too much or somebody doesn't talk enough.
Oh, that's true. But then there's a way to cue them.
Okay, how do you do that?
So you cue them. You say, so you read the body language, first of all, which is noticing. I have this system called NAP, notice, ask, and practice. So you notice them. So if I were like really connected to you, Percy, I would say, Percy, you look like you have a question to ask me before you even blurt it out or something. And then you say, Percy, you don't, I kind of get the feeling like this something's making you, you know, bent out of shape or something, or something's, you're footless or whatever it is, but I want to know what's happening. Okay. And then kind of reaching out to somebody like that. And then you frame the question, you pre-frame it. And that pre-framing is like not asking the question directly, but just saying, do you think that, before you even say it, do you think I might be able to say something to you that might be a little uncomfortable? And they go, what is it?
Oh, they'll say no.
they're like on notice. They go, whoa, like what? Just say, well, I don't know if I should bring it up right now, but do you think we can have a cup of coffee, or maybe after dinner I can have a few words with you? If I ever say that to my husband, he says, what do you want to know? Tell me right now.
Yeah, see.
Because he gets nervous.
Well, men are like that. They're kind of impatient, you know. Yeah. That's why I love the book from back in the day, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus.
Oh, that's right. John Gray.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Great book. Yep. I tell my male friends all the time, that's a book, you know, helped me understand a little bit more. Not a lot, but a little bit more. But yeah, so a NAP is notice.
Notice. Ask.
Ask.
Before you ask, you pre-frame. You pre-frame the question. So in other words, knowing when to ask, how to ask, and seeing if you're ready. And that's all gibberish, because John Gray will say, just go right for it, prefrontal, you know, get in there.
Well, but guys then are different. Guys want that to do it now. You
know? Yeah, they want it now. But that's where people are like, oh my gosh, we're into divorce now. Hello. All this romantic stuff of running across the lawn, across the crowded room, that has gone down the drain, because they're into reality now, and they're into the bleeping and the blurting and the bullying and the blabbing. So what we have to do is to kind of find that correct medium and to say, I hear you, you hear me, I know you, you know me. I might be somebody who keeps rambling, and you might be somebody who gets right to the point. So that's the asking, and then the practicing. And I have people practice on their phones. You know, there's a voice memo, mm-hmm. and then you practice. Hi, do you think we might talk about whether you should have a will right now? Or what will happen if you suddenly become
incapacitated? Let me write this all down. So next time I have an argument with my wife, I want to ask my wife something.
What if
can I ask?
Notice. First you notice what's happening. Then you reframe and ask. And then you practice, Percy. So then you say, if something happens to you, like through COVID, or, you know, you get hit by a car, or you just suddenly got into Alzheimer's and we couldn't talk to you any further, where could we find your passwords? Or how do we get into your file cabinet? Or do you have any life insurance for us? Or how do we pay the electric bill? Or who's going to pick up the tab for a mortgage? I mean, we don't know what's going to happen if you suddenly weren't there for us. And we're counting on you, because you're like the major domo of our whole family.
Right.
You're our savior. You're our lifeliner. And so, in other words, instead of saying, where's your will? Which is prefrontal, confrontive, something that you can get to the point. You kind of have to wend your way and see where that person's coming from and do this little dance.
Yeah. I love the dance, but that's something I know I need to practice on when I'm dealing with my siblings, let alone my parents and my wife and son. It's something that I'm a guy. I'm impatient. I'm going to want an answer now, or I'll provide a solution to you now.
Right.
That's one thing my wife gets a little upset at. I didn't ask you a question to get a solution. I just asked you a question that I'm thinking about this, you know, because she's still thinking about the question. So anyway,
I'm laughing because you are like normal. You're normal. This is what happens all the time.
Yeah. Well, a little bit, but it's a little bit different when I deal with clients, because my wife has heard me on my phone talking to clients and, and how I frame things a little bit different.
Right.
Because I know what they're going through. I know where they're going to go. So I'll kind of hold their hand and walk them through different options. And it's something that I think people aren't used to that. People don't know how to talk to an attorney. People don't know how to fill out a long-term care insurance form. They don't know their parent has long-term care insurance, let alone how to read a trust or beneficiaries or how to title, let alone Medicaid planning. So it's just something that we cover a lot of that. And it's just something that I think people need to understand that, you know, you and I are here. There are many, many experts in our field that can help them in our generations partners. And I would tell them, seek them out, ask questions. How do you do things? What's important that I need to worry about? You know, and it's something that I think as we go forward, we're going to see a more and more baby boomer dealing with the parents. So if you have parents you're dealing with, you listen to the show, look us up. You can find it, Generations Magazine at generations808.com. And Nick and I can both help you walk you through stages in life. Annette Moore specializes on healthcare and caregiving. So one of the big questions before we end the show here is, you know, the last two issues we had with Mrs. Ige's on the cover, and with her mother has dementia. And then we had Kalani Pea and his mother, Pua, dealing with their grandmother. Dementia, you know, I saw this 10 years ago that I think 48% of people over the age of 85 are going to get some form of Alzheimer's dementia. How do families deal with that right now when they don't know that their parent, they're just forgetful. But how I always tell my friends, it's going to get worse.
Yes.
So it's a plan ahead, but first you have to get diagnosed if you can to a certain extent and then reach out and for resources. But how do families come to grips and how they deal with this right now? Because you have a lot of experience with your clients at your care home.
Absolutely. We have had in-service training. We had an expert who came from the mainland and she stayed with us for 1 month. Yes.
Wow.
She was able to train the staff.
Wow.
She was able to work with the families and she was able to show us how to work with the resident who insisted that she might have been the daughter or how to be the relative. So this was all part of the new way to reorient ourselves to train how to meet the person rather than how to force them to say, I am not your husband. You know, he's been dead. And some people even go to the cemetery and say, that's where your husband is.
Really?
Instead of saying, oh, yes, dear, I just brought back your favorite meal. You know, because their perception is so different now.
Right.
So really, it takes the leadership of the family to step up when a person just becomes more and more debilitated with the disease. Because you're right, as a speaker for the Alzheimer's Symposium, I could see the statistics mounting, and it's going to be more and more every day, as every year as we go on, because it's going to be kind of an epidemic.
Yeah, well, I think in the state of Hawaii, last statistic I saw, it was like 35,000 that officially diagnosed. Unfortunately, another statistic is that they say 50% are not even diagnosed. That means
that's
we have
true.
70.
That's right.
But I know the University of Hawaii got a grant a couple years ago to train doctors and nurses and nurse practitioners about how important it is to diagnose and provide resources. So I think what I heard, that number is going to double in the next 10 years. So
absolutely,
it'll be over 100,000.
Yep.
Because they can live a long time.
Yes.
And so with many families, they have to coordinate, plan, tag team, different ways to provide services, whatever the services they need. So that's one thing for our listeners out there, that we're going to provide more and more information as we go forward to our restarted radio show. It's something that, you know, I've committed myself to this. You know, that's, you know, for us, you know, with the magazine, we're committed to really providing expert resources to empower and equip families like you do to how to navigate caregiving and aging in place. And aging in place is another thing. I started saying this 17 years ago when I got in the reverse mortgage business, is that aging in place, these three words are going to resonate more and more. And to this day, 18 years later, it really has.
How do we
do that? How do we take care of mom and dad if they want to stay at home? You know, I promised Dad I would never move him out of the house. How do we do that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's something that I think, you know, one of the other books I always have, always loved and read was The Purpose Driven Life.
Oh, yes, that's right.
My mentor,
Rick Warren.
When I first got into business 18 years ago, he gave me this book. You read much? He goes, no. He goes, okay. I'm going to give you this book anyway, but you can order CDs. So I had CDs
on tape.
Of the book, tape. And I found this purpose in life is using my mortgage background, finance background to help families.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah.
More so now with the magazine, helping families navigate life and aging in place and caregiving. Mm-hmm. And having professionals around me like yourself, Annette, I can call, pick up the phone and say, I need some help here. What do we do? What do we plan? And it's just, we have great passion for this industry.
We do.
And that's one thing I've seen with yourself, and that's why I appreciate you coming in and stepping up. Because we all have to give back to this community. We all have to understand and learn more and be a resource. That's why the magazine was called The Good Life before, Generation Magazine, The Good Life. We're called Hawaii's Resource for Life.
Yeah.
That's why we changed it to Hawaii's Resource for Life.
Fabulous.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
You know, so it's important. Please go to generations808.com. We have a ton of resources there. Click on our resources page. It's really important to go there. So any last words on that?
No, just that we believe so much in the family, and all of these challenges could really stretch them and tear them apart. So you need to repurpose, pivot, make sure that you bring up the passion and be playful, and also communicate. Communication, to me, is the ground zero of everything.
I'll work on that.
But you know when to. But the misfiring coming out of our mouths, innocently, we're not sociopaths, but we just say this because we're so emotional and passionate. But I'm going to be doing kind of a webinar in mid-January, and we're going to go further in depth if somebody wants to learn
from
that.
A lot of people get a hold of
you
for
that. So they can go to annettepang.com, my website, and they can hear a whole replay of the detox communication webinar that I gave. Remember, you were on it? October 29th, we did a really nice detox communication, got several people listening, and that's online as a replay. And then probably mid-January, I'm going to be doing...
Good.
Yeah.
So check her out. She's also one of our Generations partners. As I said, go to hawaiistreams.fm or for live this thing. We're here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. If not, go to generations808.com and click on our podcast. So thank you very much, everybody. Stay tuned. We're here back on 101.1. So thank you very much. As always, live well.